Welcome back to another episode of The Occasionalists. Matt Pagel here once again on this Tuesday, March 12th, 2024, as The Occasionalists Daily rolls on yet again. But of course, we got to start with a little bit of did you know on this day, I think it's on this day in history is basically what this is, but on this day, March 12th in 1894, Coca-Cola is sold in bottles for the first time in a candy store in Vicksburg, Mississippi. It was sold in a glass bottle called a Hutchinson that they used to, well, obviously, bottle Coke. But this was the birth of a mega company and the birth of a hopelessly addicted nation to sugar and caffeine. It began on this day, March 12th, 1894, when Coca-Cola first sold its bottles in a candy store in Vicksburg, Mississippi. So there you go. That's the big news for March 12th. There's other stuff too, but you know, that seemed a little bit more interesting than talking about something that's happening like the Ottoman Empire, like the 1400s or something. So we are continuing on with our mission to making the gym, having fun at the gym again, is basically what we're doing this week. Just covered accommodating resistance. Hopefully you went out there and, you know, at least gave it a look to see if this might be something that you might be interested in. But today we're going to talk about something that I find to be one of the best sort of like mental breaks from working out, you know, continuing to work out, but like also taking a mental break from working out, if that makes sense. Like there are just times when like the routine feels like it's kind of bogging you down or you're not progressing the right way. I find that working on the sled, doing a little bit of sled work, is the way to kind of break out of that funk, do something a little bit different, get your heart rate up, really tax yourself a very different way. So there you go. We're talking about the sled today. And I think that the sled is I think it's an underrated piece of equipment because it can be used for more than what you're thinking about. I mean, it is limited in that, like, you know, it's a press or pull sort of mechanism, but there are different ways to sort of use this thing besides how you're thinking of. But we'll obviously we are going to get into all of that here. It's also, just to kind of jump back to the beginning here before I really get into it. Not only do I think it's like a good way to, not only do I think it's a good way to sort of kind of mentally break up your workout too, there is like a legitimate physical benefit to this, beyond the whole idea of just, you know, making your workouts a little bit different each time, you know, for the sake of your progress or your gains or whatever else. This is also a really great alternative to reduce some like wear and tear, especially in your lower body. We'll get into it, but you really can't just like continuously like heavy squat or continuously do certain things. It's a great idea, you know, for your own health, but also for just for muscle building and cardiovascular benefits. It's also a really good way to break up that and try something different with the sled too. So there is like a physical sort of benefit beyond the obvious, you know, obviously doing something good for yourself, physical for yourself. There's another benefit to this as well, and that's just sort of. That is just kind of reducing that sort of continual stress that a lot of our legs take. Sled works great for that. So, you know, what is a sled? You've probably seen it before. Most, not every gym will have it, but I think a lot do. Basically, it's you'll know it. It's usually like in some kind of turf room or something, and it's like a little metal device that you can stack plates on. Usually, got some pegs coming up off of it. To stack plates on, to put your hands on. You can, again, look this up. Look up like a prowler sled or something like that. And it weighs, you know, somewhere between like 60 and 80 pounds. Has its own weight to it as well. But it is designed to slide on the ground, usually on like turf. Or, I've even seen people build specialty tracks for them where like they you know they pull they're literally being pulled on like wood skis, or like it's almost like they're going down a almost like the sled's like going up or down like a ski jump kind of deal, is what I've seen some people make for them, you know, minus the jump part because that wouldn't really make any sense. But generally speaking, you're going to find these in like a turf or a carpeted room, because that's where they slide best. Sometimes there are even some like really there's some really small space, small function ones that are literally just like pieces of fabric that you can like you can pile plates on and they'll lock in, and it just has like long straps coming off of it. You might even see something like that, and that is in fact that's a very micro budget space conscious type of sled. In that case, the whole idea there is that it's going to take up less space, or you know, whatever else, because sometimes these sleds can be kind of unwieldy. But that's generally what I'm talking about here. You'll mostly see people pushing it like a blocking sled in football. You'll mostly see people hands on like some of the peg posts, and they'll be pushing it like that. Sometimes the sled might even have like an area where you can put your hands at different heights and stuff like that. But basically, you'll generally see people kind of pushing it as though they were pushing a blocking sled in football, is kind of the idea, the general idea here. But like I said, you can do, I think it's a little bit underrated, or at least you're kind of underselling it, because you can do a little bit more, you can do a little bit more than just that. And in fact, this is going to be the episode where I give you sort of a routine. I might even call it a routine, just some different ways you can try to maximize your time with the sled is how I'll look at this. Generally, what you're going to see, as I mentioned before, people kind of hitting this thing like a football sled, but we're also going to see generally people put on, you know, and it's oftentimes a lot of weight, and they're going to try to push through this thing as fast as they can, and that's totally fine. That's totally good. It's definitely still worthwhile. But for our first kind of variation on this, I want you to, we're just going to call these heavy pushes. And what you want to do here is you want to keep the weight very heavy. So let's just say the most you've ever pushed in a sled, or maybe you've never done this before. You know, you want to try like a couple of plates, you know, 90 to 100 pounds. I think most people should probably be able to, most people in any kind of reasonable shape can at least push two plates on a sled. You know, that would be probably like about 150 pounds, 160 pounds total. That's really not a lot of weight to push. But let's just start with that, okay? All right, let's make it an even number. Let's call it 200 pounds on a sled. And what you want to do with these heavy pushes, you don't want to try to push through as fast as you can. You want to make this deliberate, and you want the weight to stay heavy. So the thing is, if you're pushing with all, you know, you're pushing full speed as fast as you can, as hard as you can, you're going to eventually use the momentum of the sled sliding with you. It's going to, you know, at some point it's going to be a little bit more advantageous because the way the sled glides. But instead here, I want you to be more deliberate with your footsteps. Even if you can go faster, don't. Take it more step by step. That way the sled itself isn't kind of jumping out and sliding out from underneath you, allowing you to kind of use that sort of, that sort of momentum or inertia, whatever you want to call it. I don't know exactly. But when you slow down and you don't let the sled start to slide, you kind of push it along each time, you're almost coming to the point where you have to restart the movement with each step. And that is much, much harder. You want this to burn a little bit, right? Like you want this to, let's say if you're pushing it for, you know, 20, 30 yards, you know, again, this is all going to depend to you, up to you, your space that you have to do it with, whatever. But if you can make this 20 yards a hard 20 yards, that's what we want. We want that lactic acid buildup. We want that burn in the legs. But the faster you do that, a lot of times you miss out on that aspect of it. So for these heavy pushes, you want heavy weight, but you want to move through it. You want to step through it deliberately as you push it. slower steps, make, you know, make each step count, make each step burn. That's what you want to do with heavy pushes. All right, now let's do the inverse of this. Let's do some sprint pushes. You definitely want lightweight, but you do want to increase it after each run. The goal here is, again, you always want to do this under control, but this time from a dead stop, you want to go from, you know, 0 to 60 as fast as you can, right? Like, this is, imagine that you're, you know, your toes on the line at a track event and you're waiting for the starting pistol. Pistol goes off, boom, you take off running full speed. That's exactly what you want to do here. So you want to keep the weight a little bit lighter in this case. But you want hands on, like you're at the starting gate, or the starting blocks, excuse me, not the starting gate, because you're not a horse, I'm assuming. Maybe you are. I don't know. If you're a horse listening to this, give me a shout out. but like you're in the starting blocks, set up, kind of get ready, tense up like you're, you know, ready to sprint, and then boom, go as fast as you can under control for, you know, whatever it is, again, like 20, 30 yards or something like that. Probably most gyms have about that much space for these kind of things. Sprint up, a nice controlled stop. Again, get ready again, come back the other direction. And then when you do increase, you don't want to increase your weight by a lot. Sometimes, you know, 10, 25 pounds, whatever. It's up to the individual, obviously. Excuse me, I had a cough there. It's up to the individual, obviously. But you do want to add just a little bit of weight, just enough that you can kind of feel it on there. When it comes to these kind of apparatus, like, I guess you could put 5 pounds on. You're not going to notice it. I would put it like at least, you know, 10 to 15. Your body will notice that. But again, you don't want to make these big jumps. You don't want to like put two plates on and try it again, because for sure you're going to be significantly slower if you add 90 pounds to something versus if you add 20. So you want to just like a little bit of lightweight. Same thing again. Like you're sprinting out of the blocks. It's 0 to 60, you know, as fast as you can get there, all the way up, you know, all the way up for a couple of shuttle runs, I guess. And then add some weight, you know, do it 2-3 times, 4 times if you're feeling real squirrely. But that's that. That's how you do that one. You just want enough weight on there to make it hard enough to push, but not hard enough to slow you so much that you're not in close, you know, I guess I would put it, you know, within your normal, within a few deviations, few standard deviations away from your normal running speed. You don't want so much weight that it really knocks you down to more like walking speed, right? This should still be close to a jog for you, basically. And it's not just about your legs. How about this? How about some sled rows? So what you're going to need to do here, you're going to attach a rope to the sled. And then you're going to, you know, whatever the length of that rope is, hopefully it's long, you know, 15 to 20 feet or so. And then you want to stretch that rope out all the way to its full length, hands on, and then you're going to hand over hand pull that rope and kind of feed it back behind you to your side, whatever, until that sled gets close. Pull that length of the rope all the way back out again, hand over hand, pull that rope all the way, you know, pull the rope in the sled all the way back towards you again. Letting the rope, you know, kind of kick off to the side or whatever. Do it again. You just keep, you know, however long you can do it, you know, whatever the length of your gym is, however long you can do it for. So in this case, now we're, you know, I guess you're going to get like a little bit of a leg workout, but you know, your forearms, your biceps, but especially your traps, your lats, they're going to, your rear delts, they're going to get a heck of a workout pulling all this weight. This is more, I can't really tell you what to begin here with. This is all up to you. How strong your back is, but this is an excellent pulling workout and a really good way at the end of an arm day or at the end of a heavy back day or something, a really good way to sort of kind of burn yourself out like once and for all, these sled rows. You can, you know, I would suggest this, in terms of the weight, you want to think about this more as like a high rep, as more of a high rep sort of exercise, right? Cause like if you think about the way you're pulling it probably close to, just in my head, thinking about how long it takes me. You're probably pulling this, if you do, let's say you do, you know, 25, 30 yards or so, you're probably getting solidly like 50 or 60, like what, quote unquote, reps in between the way that you yank it in. Probably 50, actually, I would guess. So think about it as a high rep movement. You could do it as a heavier movement, but I would kind of lean, especially the first couple times you do it, you give it a rip. I would lean just a little bit lighter, so you kind of get used to the feeling of it, because the weight does on this type of stuff without like the presence of pulleys and things like that, the weight piles up way faster on you than like when you add 20 pounds on a row machine that's like brick loaded or something. Like the weight doesn't quite add up the same way as it does when there is nothing buffering you whatsoever. So lean light, and then you'll figure it out from there. But sled rows, one of my favorite finishers on a back or an arm day. I know one thing that people kind of talk about, especially as you start to get to my age, even if you kind of maintain your strength, something that a lot of people my age begin to lose is their athleticism. So it's a little bit harder to work on, especially when you're not like playing sports and stuff, right? Like one, when you're as young as you were when you're like in high school or whatever, but two, playing sports and stuff, really good way to keep your athleticism, right? Being athletic continuously. But you can kind of fight that a little bit with when you're in the weight room. So how about some back pedals? You're going to need, I guess you could kind of loop a rope around yourself. It's harder. You're going to have to like tie it if you really wanted to go that route. I'm lucky enough. My gym actually has like this sort of loop hip attachment, like this padded, like harness attachment kind of deal that you can put, hook around the base of the sled. And then this kind of padded, almost like a leash, basically, like a dog leash kind of deal, those kind of harnesses that like you see some dogs wear it around your hips, right? And so you wear this around your hips. The loop gives you just enough space between your stride and the sled that you can do some back pedals. And it really is. It's just a good way to just another. Backpedaling is just a great sort of athletic practice, if you will. Imagine that the way you should think about this. Imagine that you're like a defensive back covering a wide receiver, and you're going to get down in that kind of low stance, and you're just going to run backwards. Great for your legs, great cardio, but it's a really key step in keeping your athleticism. Running at different angles, running backwards. Like that's the kind of stuff that really like. That's the kind of stuff that requires athleticism, old or young. You need to be able to, if you're playing a sport or something, any kind of sport, how often do you run backwards? Like you do it a lot. If you're, like I said, if you're covering someone in football downfield, if you're playing defense on someone in basketball, very often on certain plays in baseball, trying to get the best angle on a ground ball or something, or going back on a fly ball, you run backwards, or sometimes you even run sideways and that kind of stuff. So this is definitely one of those things that's going to help keep you athletic, doing these back pedals. And this is something that I would work on it light at first to get the feeling of it, but I definitely would add, I wouldn't be shy in adding, making bigger weight jumps in this. We're not necessarily, again, not, this isn't something that you're necessarily worried about your overall speed, but you do kind of want to get used to, maneuvering with a little bit more weight on this one. So there you go, back pedals, the next variation you can do when you're doing some sled work. And then lastly, with that same attachment that we would use for back pedals, or the same, if you can manage to tie a rope the appropriate way. You can tie that rope around, spin yourself around, and as long as you have enough room, you can do full-blown sprints as well. I think this is the one that I do the absolute least of in this regard. I think there are, simply because of the way that the sled kind of drags behind you, and if you are doing an appreciable amount of weight, it's going to take you out of your sprint mechanics. Not that you can't do it, you still can't run with it, but it's going to take you out of your sprint mechanics. If you had the possibility to sprint with like a parachute or something like that, I would do that first. There's also, my gym also has a, I think it's called like a Viper, and it's like this, almost like this like spring loaded kind of like bungee cord deal that as you it like it attaches around your waist, you know, with like a kind of, again, like another hip attachment kind of deal, attaches around your waist. And I'm taking that back. I think this is a full harness that like you wear, and it attaches to your back. But as you sprint out, the farther, faster you sprint out, the more it pulls back and resists. I think it's called a Viper. I would do that before, but in lieu of that, I know a lot of I'm going to go ahead and guess that most gyms do not have parachutes, those little parachutes for you. And I'm going to go ahead and guess that very few gyms will have like that Viper, like my gym has, which I'm even surprised that it has. So in lieu of those two things, then for sure, try sprinting with the sled kind of hanging off your back. If there's an attachment, great. If not, you can kind of make it work with just kind of tying a rope around yourself. The more set up something is for you to, you know, not have to like make the apparatus yourself, the better it's going to be. But you certainly can, again, take a big rope, wrap it around yourself, wrap it around, you know, lock it onto the sled, and you can do it that way too. It's just a little bit more difficult, that's all. But I also think that it's this would be, I do it. I mean, it's great. It really is worthwhile. I just think that if you have better options for sprinting, for sprint training, take them. If not, this is definitely viable as well. This would be a very solid B level sort of sprint training apparatus. So go for it. And that is it for today's episode. A short one. Got right into the meat and potatoes here with the sled work. That is it. We are going to be moving on. We will see you on Wednesday when we are going to quote one of my favorite fitness influencers who's got a lot of good content. We'll talk about him when we get to this. But it's got a lot of good content that's both informative and also just like really, really fun. To quote his mother, who appears in a series of videos, on tomorrow we are going to tear the tits off of the gym. This is the high rep edition of Tear the Tits Off. So we're going to be talking some high rep stuff tomorrow, and that should be a lot of fun. So until next time, we will catch you on the flip side. Later.